Tom Noxey, isn't it?
Oxley.
Here in Raccool.
Yeah.
A very unusual name. It's H-O-X-E-Y.
That's right.
Where did that come from?
All Hoxies come here in from when Cromwell come, was in this community.
And
this
that's country. A long time ago.
And that, yeah.
So, how far back can you trace your family, your own family?
Well, I knew my great grandfather, my mother, but I was born in Dernamook, that's the Lenneby Mall in County Wicklow. And my father's name was Tom Hoxey too, and his father's name was Tom Hoxey. And I think that the other grandfather was Pat Hoxey.
So it goes, Tom was in the family a long time, and
he was in the family, we'll say, three times, like.
Yeah.
I'm Tom.
Your father and your grandfather.
Grandfather.
But your great-grandfather was Pat.
Pat, yeah.
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 And they all came from
Wicklow side. And there could have been a Tom now before that. I wouldn't be able to go back now far enough because I forgot all about it, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were born yourself in 1920, wasn't
1920,
it?
1920, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am one of seven kids born in Dernamook. Four girls and three boys, and all alive. Five of them over 80, and two over 70.
My goodness.
All alive.
Still,
yes.
Well, that's a good record.
Yeah.
And the place you grew up in, again, is?
It's Dernamook.
Dernamook.
Yeah, Dernamook. It's
the place of the pigs, isn't it?
Yeah, the place of the pigs, that's right. And that's where Michael Dwyer got away from the English army when they were taking over this country.
Yeah.
He got away. Some drummer slain, you remember, he and left them far behind.
So the place where he survived was Dernamook.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like growing up there? What kind of a place did you remember it as being?
It was hard, like from the time I started to grow up, like times got harder. And when I went to school, I went to school around 5, over to Seskin. That was near the Tillery Range. Up in the Lenneby Mall, about 5. I thought the times was getting hard that time, like, you know. And when I grew up, when we were going to school that time, we either had to walk, or my father would drive us with an ass and car that time. Or a pony, later on a pony and car. That we'd only get down lifts of a wet day or something like that. We'd have to walk 3 miles to school.
Imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you come out of a thatched cottage?
Well, half of our house that time was thatched. The other half, my father's time, before he married, like, he done half, the other half, and slated, put an upstairs in it, like, the cottage part was down, only one story, like, you know.
And that was the old part?
That was the old part. And then when my father married, my mother's name was Butcher. She come from around down Grangebeg near Dunlavin or on the Kilcullen Road, like.
And she was Butcher.
Butcher, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had that house done before he got married, like. And they lived in that house we lived in that thatched house for I suppose I was 20 before we changed it. And the thatch was taken off it. And it was then put in a two-story den. We built a two-story onto it then.
I would imagine that, you know, growing up in a thatch, most of the houses in the area were they thatched?
Yeah, most of the houses at that time was thatched. Like.
Yeah.
But a lot of them had even got rid of the thatch before we got rid of the thatch. Like.
Your father then, he was a small farmer then, wasn't he?
Yeah, a small farmer. But I suppose there was about 80 acres under the hill wall. Like, and then there was they had a grazing for about 80 sheep on the hill or something around 100, like, on the hill outside the wall, like.
But when you say the wall, how do you mean?
It was separating the farm from the hill, like.
From the commonage, the mountainous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he'd let sheep wander away off up there.
Yeah.
What kind of farming did he do then?
Well, that time it was mostly sheep, like, and about 5 or 6 cows milking, like, and feeding their calves, like, and keeping them until they were yearlings, like, and then to be sold in the fair, like, Bosnoss or Dunlavin or Hackettstown. And then we used to have 2 horses for the ploughing, or could have 3 sometimes, whatever way if he seen a cheap horse, he'd buy it, like, and train it. And he'd always have 2 or 3 horses. And that's for the ploughing and the mowing and all the tilling of the land, like, there. We used to just sow potatoes, turnips, and oats that time. That's all we could grow, and vegetables as well, like. Mostly the vegetables would be in a big garden there around the house, like. But it'd be oats got sown for the cattle, because that time we used to feed the oats sheaves wouldn't be thrashed or anything like that until later on, and then it come to then that the thrashing mill used to come around and thrash the oats from the straw, like.
Yeah.
And you'd have the oats in bulk then, and the straw, like, it'd be in the shed. For the cattle used to eat the straw, or for bedding or something like that, you know.
Yeah. And survival, did you find it tough, or?
Oh God, I did, like. I thought it was hard. I think the only thing that kept them alive that time was, and keep going, like, was the sheep's wool. The sheep's wool was very dear that time. And that was able to pay the shops, like, for if you buy a bag of flour or buy something like that in Northern Ireland to pay for it, as it go down in the book. And then when you get the sheep's wool, like, it's able to cover all a lot of that and everything. It wasn't like now, sheep's wool is no use now, like. It takes that price to shear them.
Yeah.
That you get for the wool, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in those days, it was a good living or at least it brought in a good few
I think that time, only the wool was so good, I think that people couldn't live up there, like, so well. And I went on farming with my father. I went to school until I was 13. And in March in 13, he says, "You'll have to give up school. I want you to sow potatoes with me." And I never went back to school after that. And I went on and sowed the potatoes with him. And I walked there until I got married in, I met a girl in a Dublin girl. She was just be on holidays down in it was an uncle down in was we in the Linnea Mall, and I met her, and so I just we fell in love anyway, and
you struck it off.
Yeah, and then I left. Sure, I was 45 or something before I left, you know. But I had to go. I used to, about 10 years before that, I used to be walking on the forestry with a horse, like slinging timber off of the hills, like.
Were you?
In the forestry, yeah.
Yeah.
And.
Well, the foresters went in there. What year did they start planting on the mountain?
Oh, they must have been there in the 40s, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you started with them, and well, did you, or did you?
I didn't start with them. I say I started around the 50s, like.
Yeah.
When the trees, a certain amount of trees. I started to be in the 30s, like, I suppose, they started. And again, when them trees got up and they were cutting a certain amount of whatever they wanted, like, and we'd have, they were looking for horses to slig them off of the hills that time, like, you know. And we also got a job there. I got a job there, like, too. And that's where I made me feel, Bob. But to continue at home, like, your father gave you 10 bob of him every Saturday night.
That was it.
And it was good enough, like, but you wouldn't go too far on it, like. It might get you to a dance or something like that, you know. Yeah.
And that would for you, that 10 bob was your pocket money for all the work for the week, was
it? Yeah, yeah. And then when I went to the forestry with the horse this year, I was getting started at 27 pound a week with the horse, like. That was good, like. Then I could have spare money. That's, and out of that money, I made enough to get married, like, then when I married in 56. And then I decided there were two brothers of mine coming up, like, and I said, maybe it would be a good time to get out now when there is help there. And my father was getting old, like, but I thought hard of leaving, like, but you couldn't, unless you were going to get the farm, like, you couldn't stay there and get married, like, you know, that couldn't happen. And so I went down here. I was terrible for the sheep. And I seen an ad for sheep in it's where the City West is now, here in Dublin.
Yeah.
That was a great big farm that time. It was over 560 acres or something. And when I seen that in the paper. And so at that time we were rebuilding Dwyer's Cottage. My father got the job rebuilding Dwyer's Cottage. That's the 1798 cottage, like. And you see, I was still at that job. And that was, my father always said, that was the best handy money he got. You know, after building the cottage, he said, that was the handiest money I got. Since I come here, he says, I always had to work terrible hard for the rest of it. But anyhow,
was it the OPW, the Office of Public Works, paid
yes,
him for that?
Yeah, they come down and a man with the name of Fleming. He was a shillelagh man. He had a job in Dublin, like.
Mm-hmm.
And he come down, and he said, "We'll have to do it." The guy into it that they'd have to rebuild the cottage. The cottage was down in ruins, like. So my father took the job on, and I helped with him. And I stood with him then. We done the cottage. And after, and we got a few pound out of that, like, and we done the cottage. And then there was an open day then. Shanty O'Kelly was to open it, like. A big crowd come that day after doing it up. And it was a great turnout, like.
And was your father delighted to see the finished product? And
oh, he did.
To see it done.
Oh, then? Yeah. Oh, he thought it was great, like.
It was. And the money he got for doing it too, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah.
And we worked hard at it, like, because we had to cut the straws on the bog, like, for to go on the, under the thatch on the roof, like. Mm-hmm. It was a hard job. I don't know how we stuck it, like.
But well used to it. I'm sure he did a lot of that work locally, including your own house, did he?
Oh, he did. Yeah. You know, he was very good. He was very good at that, like.
Yeah.
He had a great old head on him, like.
Did he?
Yeah. But, like, maybe better than I had, I suppose. We done the had the celebrations and all, and that was it. And this other, then I said, that was in the 40, I think it's 47, that was.
Mm-hmm.
That was. And I come, then... I was working on the first seat then, as well after that. And I got married in 50.
The years that you spent working in the forestry, was that, can you describe what that was like? Was there many people working there with you?
No, there was about six or seven men. There was a foreman and I suppose five or six workers, as we call them, and then there was three or four men with horses, like. But the horses wasn't working now when they started to plant there, like, you know what I mean? The planting started about in the 30s, like.
Yeah. And what you were doing was pruning and tinning the forest, were you? Or
no.
Or were you taking trees out of it at that stage?
We were taking trees out because that'd be, I suppose it'd be...
Be 30 years.
Be 30 years, like.
Yeah.
And there'd be big falls that time, like. Yeah. Like, and they were able to sell them for fencing and all this racket, like. It used to be up the hill, like, and that time there was no tractors or anything like that going up.
Yeah.
And the horses used to have to ring them. You'd walk up with it, you'd walk, it was tiresome all day.
I bet
You'd walk up with the horse, like, and you'd tie him to a pole, and drag that pole or two poles or however you'd put on him down.
Yeah.
And that went on for a few years then. And then they said that wasn't pay, and then it was a whole new tractor and all that going to start working then and everything. And then they start to sell the timber, like, at, I suppose, this plant, so slowed it out, like, to sold it out to people to plant it, to cut it, like.
Yeah.
And then they all come along with the saws and to cut it down themselves and everything like that. I could have started at that, but I didn't leave the sheep. And then when I got married, I said I was going to stay with the sheep.
I know, but you had to leave your home at the same time. You couldn't stay on.
No.
Yeah, but so what did you do?
I seen this job of sheep on the paper. I think you said that before.
And did you go down there then?
I went down there then, yes.
And you worked away with the sheep?
I got married in 55, but I had no... I had a flat in Dublin at that time, and I went back and forth. I used to go home and work 3 or 4 days and work at home. And I said, that's not going to... And then I had an idea I wasn't going to get the farm when I married the Dublin girl, like, or something like that. You know, the way the old time used to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I'll get out and try and see how I go. So I started, I seen this job in Dennis Green. He was, remember, the, you wouldn't remember it now, I say, his uncle was a farmer's president in one time in the 50s. But his father was a doctor in Australia, like. And Dennis demanded now that I went over. Dennis got married to Verskyle Campbell's niece. Mm-hmm. And he was going to see, they were trying to get the, around here, like, they were trying to get, before I ever come here, like, they were trying to get the land commission to take the farm, because it wasn't worked, like, in the City West, like. I do call it the City West, but it was Campbell's, Verskyle Campbell. You ever heard that? Verskyle Campbell, no?
Verskyle
Campbell, yeah. No, she was a Verskyle Campbell. And Dennis Green married her. But Dennis Green come back with his father from Australia. And the father had a farm down in Castledermot. And then he met the niece, and they got married to save the farm, like, because he was going to, he started to plow and sow and everything in it. And then he thought that sheep was going to be a big thing, because he was used to sheep in Australia, like. And he thought it was going to be a big thing. He said if he could get a good sheep man, he'd get into sheep. But he had gone into sheep anyway, and whoever was with him now, it wasn't a success. And he pulled up, he wanted a man that knew a good bit about sheep. And so it was in the paper anyway. And
you went for it?
I went for it. And in about a fortnight after that, he says to me, would you come down on such a date? It would be about a fortnight after that. And I said, yes, I'll go. She says, and I'll bring you through all and see would you like it. And I said, if there's sheep in it, I said, I like it, whether I take it or not. But then, the day he come up to ask me to see, he was after interviewing two or three about the sheep job. And someone on the way up, he called into someone to know where Hoxie's was. And he says, I'm looking for a good sheep man. And whoever it was, he never told me who it was. He says, you'd go no farther than Tom Hoxie.
You came highly recommended.
I was highly recommended. Now, and I don't know who recommended me. And that day, the cottage was after, you know the way the sparks from rug over the cottage on the thatch, like?
Yeah.
And I got burned a bit. And so we had to re-touch it. And that day he come up, I was on the ladder, handing my father up straw to touch this piece of cottage. And he looked up at me and he says, I don't know whether I'm with the right man or not, he says. And he looked it up and he seen all the sheep around the hill, you see. And he says, sure, you must know something about sheep. And I got down anyway, and I introduced me, and then he told me he was looking for a good sheep man. And I'm sure I hadn't told my father this at all, like. And I was I said to him, he says, could you come? I think he said, whatever, I think it was in the middle of the week anyway. He says, could you come on such on Monday week and see would you like it? He says, the house is not that good, but I'll get a new house for you if you fit. And so I went that Monday anyway. I had to go. I had to get the bus down. It was on the Bosnash Road. You had to get the bus to Dublin, you see. I went into Dublin, and I had to ask then, how would I get a bus out to Saggart? And the 69 was that time to Oleg, and I got the 69 out to Saggart. And I asked someone was this the big farm that the green was in, and they told me that I was at the right place. Because the bus stopped outside their gate, you see. And I went in, and he had a big, in this house I was going to go into anyway, he had a big stick fire, I was gone. Big fire to look at, like. And I said, wasn't that lovely to be sitting at all day? I said to myself. And my wife, you see, at the time was, she was in a flat in Dublin, like, do you know? And I see her, and I went back and I told her I said, no, he walked me around anyway, and he said, what are you going to do? And she said, are you going to take? And I said, the house is not powerful, but say, what are you going to do about it? And he says, well, I won't ask you to live there long, he says. I'll have a new house beside that, he says, built in 6 months. And on top of the way he said it to me, that he was honest, like. And that happened. He had the house built for me in 6 months.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So, it was a move that you made, but did you find it hard leaving?
Oh, I did. I thought it was the biggest shock I got for years, like, to leave home after working so long in it, like. And then I looked at that. I knew that when I was going to get married, that my mother, like, wouldn't agree with any woman going in there, like, you know. And I said that should I have to make a start somewhere.
At what age were you?
I was 45.
Oh, you were 45, but yeah. It was about time for you to move on.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
It was. And what about you? What's your wife's first name?
Bernadette.
Bernadette.
Quinn. She was Quinn. Her father come from Hollywood now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a policeman in Dublin. Mm-hmm. But he didn't like her marrying a farmer.
Either.
the whole thing went well anyway. Whatever. So, yeah. My wife died about 5 years ago. She died with a heart attack.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But tell me now, did you getting married so late in life, was that something that you meant to happen, or like you didn't get
No, I would have been married younger if I liked. But I had lots of girls when I was younger, but every one of them said, are you getting the farm, you know? And I couldn't say that, like. So I forgot about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the farm, but I got the woman. And I went and I worked 14 years there.
Did you work 14
show,
years?
I got show, big prizes for show and everything down there. Mm. And the next thing, I left that. I was 14 years there. I went there in November 1960. I went to Taggart. That's where the City West is now. And I stayed there 14 years, and I said, no, I have no house of my own, and you're living in another man's house, because he was Green, like you. I got on well with Green. He drove me everywhere. We had nights out together. We got won prizes with sheep together, like. And we had a mighty, mighty good time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Do you know? Yeah.
And I often said to myself, because I was walking in down the muck for years, and sure, I had to work hard, and still there was no great money in it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But why did you leave? Is it because the business started to go down, or?
No.
Or did you just move on?
No. My youngest brother, like, Pat, was coming up, and he had a great leg of my mother, like.
Oh, no, that's your farm at home. But what about the place down there?
Oh, down here.
Down there, yeah.
Well, you see, he fell out with the wife, and he got a divorce.
Oh, yes.
You see, and I took over that place on my own for 6 months while they were in America getting a divorce.
Did you?
I did. I suppose I shouldn't say that, but I done that, like.
Yeah, and you looked after it, yeah.
I looked after it. Yeah.
And what happened then?
Then she come back, and I wouldn't go on that well with her, like. Even though she was good to me, like, but I thought she got a bit cross then, you know. And then she was going with this fella, Alexander. She's living with him still, I suppose. But I didn't like him at all. And I said to myself, it's time for me to get out of here. And a man come, John Hennessy, he lived in Saggart. He says to me, do you want a house? Said to me one night, Gunson, I'd love a house of my own. And he says, I tell you what, come over to the door to Welsh, Sean Welsh. He was a TD in this side of Dublin here. He used to walk with Roadstone or something.
Mm-hmm.
And John says to him, Tom's thinking of getting his own house. He's getting fed up over there.
Yeah.
So I got, he says, there's a house there on the corner. If he wants it, he can have it.
Just like that. My God, that was a lucky break for you.
That was a lucky break.
And what did you? What was your next step then?
My next step, I said, I was only after telling about that and getting the house here. I met John Dyle. Do you know the Dyle brothers?
I do.
Do you know the Dyle brothers?
But Dyle brothers here, is it? And
yeah.
Tell me about them.
I met John Dyle. He'd be a son of old Jim Dyle. You wouldn't know old Jim Dyle, did you? No, he had a farm down here in Kill.
There were farmers down there, were they?
And I met the wife. They lived up in a bungalow up here, not far from me, like. But he had a farm down near Kill there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was up on here on top of the hill. He had a bungalow. And I used to know them, like, I would have never thought I'd be working with them. And so I met the wife this morning. And she says, you're looking very troubled looking. And I said, I am a bit of trouble. She said, I'm looking for a job. She says, looking for a job. Are you going to leave that place? I will say, because we've got the house. I'm after getting a house today, you know, and I'm going to go the other way. And she says, I tell you what to do. Call up to see John. She mentioned the night that they'd be there, like. Call up to see John. And I called up to see John this night that she mentioned. And he says, the very man I was looking for. He says, don't worry about staying there. He says, come to me. And so I think I gave a month's notice or something. And she was raging, I was going, like. Well, she says, I knew when you got your bloody house, she says. You wouldn't stay with me. But it's not, I wouldn't mind. I didn't like Alexander at all, because they quite, when I was looking after the tillage part of that farm, Alexander was trying to take the, see, I was told to deal with the Vincent, Bahal and Vincent's man. They were a big crowd in Dublin there. He was telling me one day in the yard, you see, that I was so off this field, other field. I used to know all the fields that time, like. I nearly forgot them all now. But Alexander come over.
Yeah.
Alexander come over and told me that I shouldn't be getting these papers to know what to be doing here. And your man says to him, well, that's the orders I got. And that was from Green, like Green was in America at that time, like.
Yeah.
Getting this divorce, like. And so, after that, I didn't like Alexander, like.
Oh, yeah. You know? Go back and name the fields for me.
Riley's Medicine, Upper College, Lower College. God, I know. The Slade. Let's see now where. What's this, that one was under the side of there? Lead ponds or something.
Yeah.
And what was?
There must have been a rake of fields.
A rake of fields up there, and Fortune Town, Montauk. There was queer names on them, and I nearly forgot them. Mm. And the Fair Green was another. And the Fair Green. I told you the Slade.
Yeah. But it's extraordinary.
Paddy's Locks.
Paddy's
Locks.
Locks.
Yeah.
And you spent so many years now working on that, on those fields, and
yeah,
knowing them intimately.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Every one. I know there's a few more now that goes back up to the Teller Road there, right?
Mm.
And I can't get them now.
But Tom, most of your life was taken up with looking after sheep.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you have a passion for sheep.
Passion for sheep.
Passion, yeah.
See the up there in a cup I won there with sheep.
Yeah, I know.
I have a whole lot of things about sheep here. Look at this. A schoolmaster painted that for me. He said I was a super sheep master. He used to take walks down now around the road.
Yeah.
Around
what is it about sheep that you love so much?
I don't know. Like, people just used to tell me that all the sheep are the same, like. And sheep, to me, was like people.
In what way now?
In looks. Now we just you'd go out there and you'd meet people you know, and they're all different, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, the sheep to me now was like that. They were all different.
You and
everyone would say, so they're all the one that's the same. But they're not all the same to me, like. And when I was in Saggart, like, he used to always say, we'll have to number the lambs and number the yaws and all this, and to know what yaws belong to, what lambs belong to these yaws and everything. I said, I never done that. When any time, any of the lamb I'd done, now I'd know what yaw or anything to be out.
Mm-hmm.
I all that, you know, and maybe I do be putting it on or something like that, but that's happened.
And every good sheepman needs a good sheepdog. Did you have
good sheepdog? Yeah. I had a sheepdog.
Were you good with dogs as well?
I was. I tell you now about that time we used to be crossing sheep across the Nace Road, because there was land under the road next to Baldonnell. And we used to have to cross them. And you bring them out now, and maybe you have to walk down a piece of the road. And that time, there wouldn't be that traffic that time. But still you want a good dog. And so we had about 100 yards coming out, and this man come up with the car. I suppose he thought he'd never get out. I had a sailor anyway, he was a great dog. And I put him up on the side and let your man through. And he only passed the sheep when he got out of the car. And he says to me, would you sell that dog? And I said, no, that's my job. And so I wouldn't sell that dog. And he says, you'll take £50 for him. I won't. And he went on, and we had to go another way up the road, and he pulled in a gateway, and he says, you'll take 100 for him. Just throw now. You'll take 100 for him.
And that was, what, back in the 1950s?
Well, it'd been the
60s?
No, it'd be down in the 80s.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's the latest, though.
Yeah.
Were you crossing?
I don't know what, I'd be in the 70s, like. I went in the 60s, November 60, but it was only in the 70s, in that January, do you know, it's coming.
Yeah.
But I went, be in the 70s, be sometime in the 70s, like. Hmm. And I said, no, I wouldn't sell the dog. But he went on anyway, and when he didn't get the dog, he didn't. And that was all right. And I was taking me holidays the next fortnight. Well, I just tell you this one now. Taking me holidays the next fortnight, and I brought the dog home to up into my house.
You brought the dog home into your house, yeah?
Up in Dunamo.
Yeah.
To make sure that they didn't mind him, like, I didn't want him. And the night before I was going back after my holidays, I went up and got the dog. And then we come back, and we were dipping sheep the next day. And I had the dog with me. And I come up to get me dinner, like, when we had a break, like, we come up and get our dinner, like. And I brought up the dog. And in the meantime, then the dog wasn't. There was a fella who used to take his lunch at the other side of the road. He used to be in a tractor. He'd be working on a tractor, and the dog was telling all that he'd be maybe throwing a crust or something around. And then he run across the road. Then he run across the road to the young man. And so when I come out from my dinner, then I whistle the dog.
Ooh.
And she. The very minute she heard me, he came back across, he was coming back across the road, and the sand lorry coming down and went straight over him.
Oh, God, and he was killed. Yeah, and that was
that's
just
the
2 weeks. Yeah.
That's the day I cried bitter.
Yeah, it was like losing a member of your family.
Yeah. for his time. I had to go on. I had to go down to Dernamook and pick him on at once, and wasn't near as good.
Really?
And then I always said that you should never refuse big money.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you'll bring you bad luck. I often heard my father saying that.
Did you?
Yeah. Never refuse big money.
If you get a deal, go for it.
You go for it.
Yeah.
And I was just saying to myself, if I lost the dog, sure I could do nothing.
Yeah.
Here. You know. And then I was able to go and get a dog that kept me going.
And just go on again.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I could sit down here and talk to you all day. But Tom Hoxie.
Hoxie.
Hoxie,
yeah.
Well, Tom Hoxie, thank you. Thank you for telling me your story.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.